You're listening to Young Riders Gap, brought to you by Ride On, where we interview young New Zealand riders to discuss their work, process, and inspirations. Get ready to be entertained, surprised, and hopefully a little bit inspired. You are listening to Young Riders Yap on Plains Media, broadcasting across Canterbury on 96.9 FM and live streaming and available as a podcast on plains.org.nz. Today we're here with Lane Andrew. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Lane. I'm 18. I'm from Christchurch and I've been riding for a very long time, since I was very little, since before, you know, I could type. I have been making stories.
Lovely. So what kind of stuff do you write and how do you, how did you get into writing?
I write primarily stories. I want to write short stories, but tend to only focus on novels. That's my main passion. And I got into writing, I always really liked telling stories as a kid. And I was always very imaginative. So since I could type, generally I've been writing stories, but it varied when I was younger as to like what I was writing. So I would write songs, or I would, you know, write collaboratively with friends. But I've always been writing in one way or another, and writing novels I've been doing seriously since I was like 14.
Right.
So wow. In like 2022, I started my main project. Yeah.
I like that. It's interesting that you mentioned typing specifically. Like, did you not write on paper very much? Was it specifically a computer event that triggered it? Or
yeah, I just didn't really like writing by hand for a very long time. And I think my brain just worked too fast to like be satisfied writing by hand. So yeah, I typed a lot and I was very online, like on Minecraft and stuff. So I was like getting lots of typing practice in via Minecraft servers. But yeah, most of my like proper stories, all of my proper stories were like on my computer, on Pages.
Right. Pages, the classic.
Yeah. Coming up with the Pages like, related
like,
question.
No, I'm like, we can talk about the novel or we can talk about like paper or type. No, I'll start. Okay.
Paper.
So what's your big project?
My main project is a novel about two teenage boys who kind of become very close and start circling each other and trying to sort of cope with their individual struggles and kind of making everything worse for each other in the long run. And I started that when I was 14. A lot of my inspiration comes from like other media or like songs. Music is very inspiring to me. So my inspiration for the novel came from the song Twin Size Mattress by the Front Bottoms.
You have a specific song.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. It was that was kind of what sparked the idea. And then from there, I kind of built it out as a story and then started thinking, maybe I could write little scenes about this. And then from there, I was like, maybe I could write a full novel about this. Is that crazy? And then I did. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll keep going now.
That's really cool that it kind of came on slowly, is like, oh, maybe I'll write a scene from this, maybe I'll progress. I feel like for me as a kid, it was like, I also had the music thing a lot and I was like, whoa, the song is so cool, I'm now going to write a story about it, whatever. But the few times younger than 14 when I was like sitting and I was like, I'm going to write a novel, and yeah, I would sit down with the like abstract intent to do it, I haven't really had times where it's come on, sort of crept in like that without the conscious intent. So that's a good sign, I feel like.
Well, I also wasn't, like, at that period of my life, writing wasn't my main art form that I was expressing myself in. I was, like, drawing more, and that was my main thing. So I thought, I'm going to have these as characters and I'll just draw them and think up scenes and stuff. And then I started wanting to write it because I read, I was reading a lot at that time, and I thought, oh, I could try writing it. And then yeah, it just like grew and grew and grew, and I couldn't get the thought out of my head of like, maybe I should write this actually. So yeah, that's how it happened.
Probably. The drawing thing is interesting too to me, because I also drew around that age, and yeah, there was a specific thing of like drawing, and then you have the scenes associated with it, and then you have the music, and there's a lot of like, for me, since I wasn't really writing in like year 9 and 10 or 13, 14, it was like, yeah, I was thinking a lot of stories, but it never truly connected that I could just like sit down and actually write them. It's just this kind of imagined state that like haunts you in your head.
Yeah, well, it was definitely a mix of everything. Like, it all happened at a very coincidental time of me hearing that song and thinking about a story, and then very soon after reading my favorite book and thinking, wow, writing is so much cooler and more insane than I thought it could be, and then being like, oh, well, I want to do that, you know? So it was like, yeah.
What's your favorite book? I mean, I know what your favorite book is, but I'm still going to ask you what your favorite book is.
My favorite book is The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt, and it completely revolutionized the way that I viewed writing and storytelling. I'd never read a book before that really was so evocative to me, just from the words alone, and it really inspired me, and I thought, wow, I've never realized that writing could be so powerful on its own, not connected to the characters or the story. So that really inspired me. And I ended up wanting to do that and make people feel the same way.
So like a specific thing contained within the prose? Because I haven't read The Goldfinch, but this girl from uni was telling me about The Goldfinch like a week ago. And then the night after, I happened to be at my friend's house and she happened to have a copy of it. So I was like reading that at a sleepover and I read the first couple pages and I was like, wow, this is very, there's like a sense to the description alone in the detail, which is like beyond all the character stuff. And I wasn't even that interested in the kid. It was just like, oh, he's having a little time, but like the sensory stuff.
She definitely has a way of writing that is extremely unique and extremely vivid. And that definitely did shock me because I'd never really read writing before that like begged you to take it really slowly and really take in what it meant apart from just the story aspect of it. And I've also reread that book like 4 times now. So I'm very like obsessed with it. So that was just kind of like recontextualized writing in my head a bit and made me want to, you know, make people also feel that way about my writing.
So are you like particularly descriptive then in what you're writing or?
I want to try to be. I would ironically place really good description as like one of my weak points in writing. I want to get better at it. It takes a lot of like time, I think, to get to her level on it, obviously, because she's been writing consistently for like 40 years. But I would like to have that aspect to my writing. But also the thing that really gripped me about that book was the characters and their relationships and how intricately that was crafted within the story. And I'd never read characters that all felt so individual and so well fleshed out and so ripe for like analysis. And that was also something that really inspired me because I really like psychological interpersonal stories that center around like relatively small casts and relationships between people. So that also inspired that aspect of my writing, which I think is like my main thing that I focus on whenever I come up with stories.
And that definitely sounds like it comes through if it's, you know, two boys across however many words. That's kind of what I struggle with. I feel like it's the, you have to fill a whole space with two people. I mean, obviously there are other people around, but the centricity of just like people talking and stuff and that depth, which I think you do really well. I guess I can't say from like firsthand experience that like you give the vibe of having a lot of thought in that and the analysis and stuff.
I think I have the potential to do it really well. Whether my execution is on point yet is up for debate, but I think I have the ability eventually.
So what's like your process for writing then? I feel this is kind of interesting because you're the first like novel long form person we've had. So I guess it'll work quite different from from something like a poetry process. But yeah, how do you write?
It's honestly kind of hard to say for sure. I did my first, I have like 2 projects going on right now. My first main project that I just talked about, I started obviously when I was a lot younger, so I didn't really have any idea about what I was doing. So I knew how I was going to start and I knew how it was going to end and I knew most of what happened in between, or at least like the main things that would happen. And then I kind of made it up as I went along. And then I had to edit it so bad. And then the second draft that I did, I planned it out every chapter before I wrote it, which was very tedious, but I think overall better. But now I'm rereading the second draft and realizing I'm still going to have to do like the same amount of editing. Yeah, I tend to be a planner now with my other project that I started recently that has been a lot more based on like my current, like I have more experience, so I'm doing it a bit differently and I was planning it a lot more heavily. But I think it also depends on the type of project that I'm doing. Like my secondary project is a lot more three-act structure, like traditional narrative, whereas my main project is a lot more kind of meandering. So yeah, tend to be a planner because I feel like I'll forget things otherwise. But yeah, I still don't think I have it like fully. I don't have my perfect way to write a novel yet. If I will ever have that, I'm not sure.
Good luck.
Yeah.
So do you find yourself, like you mentioned, like planning every chapter out for a whole second draft? Do you manage to stick to that plan, or do you kind of veer off? Because I feel like for me, it's like I am a very obsessive planner now, but there's always a point where I'm like, wait, I have to change everything. This doesn't.
No, I haven't found myself veering. I found myself adding things in, or maybe as I'm going, shuffling certain things around, but the main beats, I never want to move them around too much or like change it, because I just think I'll just change that next draft. Because yeah, I tend to have a good enough idea of how things are going to go that I don't want to change it midway.
Yeah.
But I think maybe you have a bit more of a chaotic storytelling process than I do. Yeah.
No, but I admire that, the ability to like have that all set out and follow it through to its end and be able to be like, okay, well, this stuff happens in the next draft. And like,
yeah,
there's quite a good structure to it.
Well, I definitely, it's also, I mean, it is a bit of an issue because I'll be writing a scene in the draft and I'm like, this has to be way earlier or way later. And then I'll put it in my notes. I'll be like, move this way earlier. And so then it's like, well, that's a problem for the future me. And then the future me comes along and it's like, oh my God. Like seriously, so much work. But yeah, that's just how I do it, I guess.
So you mentioned a second project. Mm-hmm. What's that about?
My second project is also about two central main characters, one of whom is sort of like a struggling artist who meets this very wealthy, very beautiful woman, and they become sort of obsessed with each other. And as the very wealthy woman reveals more like dark, disturbing sides to her, the artist needs to reckon with what parts of herself is she willing to compromise, and like what values is she willing to compromise in order to like preserve her success. And yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like the, it's very mysterious.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, no, I this,
I'm trying to
say, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to be like, I'm trying to, I can't spoil it if I'm going to publish it one day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So are you like in the planning phase for that? Are you writing?
What's in the first draft phase. So I'm like 60 pages into the first draft.
Whoa.
Yeah, which is like six chapters. Which has been interesting, and I feel like this is going a lot better than the first draft of my main project did, which is good. Feeling quite confident in it. Yeah, I'm just having fun. I think the first draft is like maybe one of the most fun parts of writing.
Interesting.
In my opinion, because it's like not meant to be that good.
Right.
Like nobody expects it to be good, and you don't have to expect it to be good. And you get to just kind of like figure out what's the voice, and I'm just going to write all this extra stuff that I'm going to cut because it's fun. And then, yeah, that's like my favorite part.
Like the freedom in that. That's good. That was the next question. Do you have a least favorite part then?
Oh, least favorite part is when I have to go back through all my draft notes and I just say, make this better. And then I have to actually figure out how to make something better. because I don't ever do any like actual problem solving. I just list out all the problems that need to be solved. And then eventually I do have to solve the problems.
That's so true.
So I'm like, it's like, rephrase this in a better way. And it's this whole paragraph. And I'm like, okay, I'll try.
That's like my problem with planning, which I've had. And I'm also writing a lot of essays at the moment for uni. It is like,
yeah,
I'm very good at laying things out and identifying the problems, yeah, or like move this over here. But when it comes time to actually do it and you have to like fill in the blank spots as you've outlined to yourself, it's a whole other matter.
I'm very good at identifying the issues, but it's really hard to actually fix them. Yeah.
Well, I think you have some piece for us.
Yes,
do you
want to
just read it or talk about what it is first?
I'll give a little bit of context. I mean, it makes sense with the description I gave of my secondary project. But my disclaimer that I wanted to give was that the main character is meant to be kind of obnoxious and annoying, and I don't know if I've nailed the balance. So if this is really insufferable, I'll recognize it later. And if the book ever gets published, read it anyway, because I think it'll be better than what I'm able to do now. Before, Annette's life between work and errands and art had been bland, beyond bland, positively meaningless. It sickened her to think of all the accumulative hours she'd wasted half asleep or watching TV or eating the leftovers of every snack in her cupboards. She imagined that, on her deathbed, she would only have 5 or 6 moments of significance to flash before her eyes as her synapses burnt out. Every other minute of her life would have long since congealed together and been disposed of by her memory cortex. She'd never been a particularly social person. Throughout her whole life, at least before her college graduation, she had periodically fallen in with people and eventually fallen out with them. She didn't seek out friend groups as much as they picked her, a bunch of polite homing missiles, and she would always go along with it because it was easier than being the freak who never spoke to anyone. But in these circles, she was always the outlier, the one who flaked on plans, the one without a best friend in the group who, sure, sometimes borrowed the car to take them all to the movies, and sometimes busted into the family's liquor cabinet for the betterment of the group, and one time held a girl in the bathroom stall because her boyfriend broke up with her, but speaking practically, she was completely dispensable. This had never once bothered her. Privately, she hoped only to be involved enough to avoid notice by anyone who might think her an easy target for bullying. To say she even liked any of the girls she was supposedly friends with was a stretch. How she longed to tell them, you know, you're not the only one with divorced parents, and everyone's dad is a drunk these days, and you can find 1,000 other mediocre men to replace your stupid boyfriend with. Outwardly, she smiled and shrugged and didn't say much. Oh, it was okay, she reminded herself. The instant she stepped off high school campus for the last time, their existences would become obsolete, and maybe at art school she might find some real friends. Every creative from a small town tells the same story, a soul so singular it can find nothing it recognizes in anybody else. Of course, after the revolution of her social life hadn't happened, she realized her path in this world was a solitary one. She was okay with it. It was more time to think about what actually mattered and less feelings to have to contend with. Her own feelings were enough work. The only real consequence presented itself when a high school face reappeared on the street. And though Annette knew for a fact she had slept on this girl's floor more than once, she could not for the life of her recall her name beyond its first letter. It wasn't the end of the world, but she hoped to God that it wouldn't happen again because she couldn't remember the details of the cover story she'd improvised to explain why she had fallen off the face of the planet after graduation. But now, unbelievably, miraculously, in breezed Cassandra. They would go to art galleries before Annette's shifts, where Cassandra would sit uncharacteristically quiet while Annette talked and talked. They would go on walks in the park with their morning coffees. They would get dinner on the weekends. They would stay up talking long after Annette had washed the clay off her hands and let her hair down. Annette called herself stupid for diving headfirst into this friendship, but Cassandra was just as greedy. Come on, Anne, her sweet voice would pipe over the phone. I'm so bored, and you don't have work for another 2 hours. You don't even have to move a muscle. Just let me come over. As much as she liked to pretend she was playing hard to get, she knew deep down that there was not much she could do in the face of Cassandra's girlish eagerness, her bottomless generosity, the whole enchanting vanilla-scented loveliness of her.
Holy cow. That, wow. Oh my God. That's like the first time I've ever heard something you've written, like in concrete form. That was genuinely amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, partly probably because we've just been talking about it and it's like on my mind now, but yeah. That genuinely did hit the goldfinch for me, like this experience I got reading the first page. There's something about the detail, like the clay and the hair and the like the specificity of everything, mm-hmm. All these little memories that build together. That was like, wow.
Oh, thank you so much.
She might be obnoxious. She didn't sound obnoxious necessarily in that passage. I can see
yeah
the potential for it, but it reads as this like just kind of disaffected, slightly depressed person. That's with a lot.
Good.
I really enjoy that kind of, this is like a voice I particularly cling to writing mm-hmm. people generally, but that like disaffected irony of like narrating all this like ostensibly bad stuff with this, it's not quite humor, but there's like, yeah. detached from it all. And it, yeah. oh my gosh.
Thank that's you. So cool. Thank you.
Is there anything that led you to like that passage specifically? Like, how did you write that?
With that passage specifically, I mean, I was more looking for just something that would cut off nicely, and that was like the most sound quality all the way through. But I also just thought it gave a good glimpse into Annette, the main character, and her brain, and how much she romanticizes Cassandra and all of her, you know, richness.
So did you, when you were writing that, did you sit down in like the middle of a chapter or whatever and be like, all right, this is like the character profile bit? Or was it just kind of a narration that came? Because I feel like even though it's a relatively specific account, and I love the stuff about like not missing your high school friends, forgetting your high school friends and like moving through all these circles, like they're very specific memories, but I feel like that would totally pass incredibly visually for me as like the montage at a start of a movie, like informing you about a person. Like it feels like a really good read, like character profile type structure.
Yeah. I mean, it was mainly just at a part in the book where I knew that Annette's opinion on relationships and friendships and needed to be narrated. So, because I wanted this relationship to be very peculiar for Annette, and I needed to show that in some way. She was not typically one to get really involved with people, and that this was really overwhelming for her and strange. So that was mainly what was going through my head, and going through her whole life and the kind of snarky internal monologue about her high school friends that were probably just being teenagers is where kind of that came from, because I wanted to show people that like she's just inherently like that in all of her life. She's been like that. She just doesn't really like people very much.
But that pull, like coming from her, you don't necessarily see that, which is a good thing. Like it kind of reads genuinely is like, oh man, all these like high school idiots who are like dating their mediocre boyfriends. Like I feel very much in that position, and I'm not necessarily thinking critically about what's happening, and I'm not like, oh, get over it, girl. Like everything she's describing genuinely seems annoying and valid when it's framed through like her character.
Yeah, and that's what I really want to achieve in terms of like, I want it to be ambiguous for a while as to whether she's being mean or maybe everyone that surrounds her is really annoying, and I want people to be on her side so that when maybe she starts counteracting normal morals, things feel more tense and stuff, and it feels more surprising, I guess.
That's really good. Oh, I want to read it now. Aww. You've got to keep writing it.
I will.
So you've mentioned a couple of things like music and the Goldfinch.
Yes.
But like, yeah, who inspires your writing mostly? Are there people around you or other authors?
I want to have more friends that are into writing. I don't so much. But yeah, it's mainly it's books and music, other stories, movies, really any narrative thing I really like. And some of my friends as well will write things that are very inspiring to me. But, I mean, yeah, it's mainly just, like, other stories and other writers and stuff. Yeah, and I can't write if I'm not reading also. Like, I write my best when I'm reading like a mad person. So, yeah, something about it, I don't really understand these people who write all the time but don't read, because I just can't. It's like the part of my brain that does both of those things is the same, and if it's not being activated in one way, it can't do the other thing.
Right. That's a really good way of like wording it, because I get the same thing. I remember like being 13 or 14 and reading, and it's like I only read like one or two books a year, and every time I did read a book, I'd be like, whoa, this is my favorite book ever.
Yeah.
And then I'd kind of be into writing for a week or two after, like it would linger and then it would go. And now reading regularly, it's like a constant pulsing. But
yeah, and it definitely, yeah, if I'm reading really consistently good books or books that are similar to like the one I writing at the time, it also makes it flow a lot easier and a lot more.
Does reading bad books affect your writing, you think, or is it just a matter of like reading bad books makes you want to read them less, which makes you read less?
Kind of both. I have a really annoying thing, which I hope I'm going to grow out of, where I tend to like emulate the style of the book that I'm reading. So if I'm reading a really good book, it's great because my writing's really awesome. And then if I'm reading a bad book, it's bad because then my writing's kind of bad. It tends to not really affect, as long as I'm intaking lots of words, it tends to not really matter. But if I'm reading a bad book, it does affect my want to read it, unless I'm finding it interesting enough to like critically analyze it, which I think is a good thing for people to do and know how to do.
That's really interesting that it pulls from like whatever you're currently reading. I feel like that's probably natural. Like if I'm reading, I will start. I noticed that a few weeks ago, actually, I'd been reading a book and it was starting to come through in other things I was writing. But yeah, that running thread, it's almost kind of scary to me in a way. Like if you don't, obviously you have this basis of everything you've read, but if it in moment to moment scenarios, you are just like kind of emulating whatever you're reading at the time. There's, I don't know, that's kind of scary. Like there's no solid ground. It's just an endless line.
Yeah. And I mean, I definitely feel like the more that you write, the more time you spend on this earth writing, your specific voice becomes more defined and like unshakable. But yeah, I think you're always going to like pull inspiration from what you're actually like taking in at the time. So, yeah.
Thanks for listening to Young Writers Yap. We'll be back soon. And in the meantime, you can stream past episodes at planes.org.nz. A big thank you to Write On, School for Young Writers, for all their support. And if you are or know a young writer, check out schoolforyoungwriters.org. Keep yapping, keep writing, and we'll see you next time. See ya!